Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from Bear Mills.
No one on stage there. Andy Hurst is out of town this weekend. And so I have the pleasure and delight to welcome everybody to our 10:45 service. So welcome all of you who are here and all of you who are watching online.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are Jehovah, the God who provides, the balm of Gilead, the God of hope. Lord, it says in your word that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, in this new year of 2024, your laborers are here, and we are here united together under one name, your name, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you be with us in our service. We ask that you bless Bear as he preaches the word here in a little bit, that it would not be him speaking, but you speaking through him. Lord, we thank you that you're the one. And just remind us that you are the God who loves us and provides for us and cares for us. We give you thanks for this day, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but nothing against Pastor Andy. I just find that the children's sermon is my favorite part. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue in a spirit of joyful ho, ho, hosanna prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Our scripture this morning on hope for the new year is from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and I would be honored if you would join me, and let's say this all together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. If you are on the church email list every morning starting on January 1st, you got an email from Shallon, who led the children's sermon this morning. Thank you, Shallon. That was wonderful. I'm going to be singing that all week. Every time I run into something I don't want to do, I'm going to be singing that song. You're going to receive an email from Shallon, and I've had the privilege of writing those this month. It's 21 days of hope. And I had someone who very politely, very nicely, but very honestly asked me 21 days on the very same subject. Don't you think that could possibly be overkill? I mean, is there really that much to say about the subject of hope? And what I would tell you is that our podcast on Hope-Filled Living went on the air in 2016. However many, I think we're up to, 400 and something episodes. I can tell you we have only scratched the surface on hope. And as I pointed out in one of the early emails, there are, in fact, we have one word that we call hope, but there's really three kinds of hope, and they're very different. The first hope is what I call anemic hope. I hope the kids in class tomorrow aren't terrible. I hope it doesn't rain on Tuesday. I hope my team wins this afternoon. It's hope that we are just sort of passive observers on. It really isn't hope by definition at all. It's really more just daydreaming or wishing. The next kind of hope that I call on the podcast little h hope is temporal hope. Now, this could be something like, if you're a kid, I hope my mom doesn't forget to come and pick me up from school this afternoon. or I hope that my spouse remembers our anniversary. Okay? It is hope that we can do something about. We can call and we can put in a reminder. It can also be hope about things like I hope that I have the opportunity to share Jesus with someone. It's hope that we can do something about. And if you've been following our podcast for any time at all, you know that the English word hope comes from the same Germanic root as the word hop. And you can't hop without action and good knees. You can talk about hopping, but to hop is action. And to hope is action as well. And it's also action that involves our knees, because temporal hope involves getting on our knees and asking God to get involved in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. The third kind of hope is eternal hope. And that is, one day I'm going to draw my very last breath. What happens after that? What happens after I'm not here anymore? My body's here, but I'm not here. What happens after that? Now, on the podcast, we talk about that there's something called hope theory, and it lays out the incremental steps of hope. First, there is the pathway to hope-filled living. I need to get on the right track to live a hope-filled life. Then I need the principles of hope-filled living. What do I do to continue to nurture hope in my life, and what do I shy away from because it is a hope stealer? And then finally, who are the people who can illustrate what hope-filled living looks like and that I can really learn from? I have a mentor that I'm going to refer to in a moment, a guy named Barry Simpson, and he has been very impactful in my life in showing me and showing our family what it means to be a hope-filled parent, a hope-filled spouse, a hope-filled employee, a hope-filled disciple of Jesus. Now, why is talking about hope so very important? Because the Bible teaches and medical science confirms that if you don't have hope in your life, you will die. Let me say that again. If you don't have hope in your life, you will die. Now, it may or may not be hope in God, but you must have hope in your life or you will cease to live. And if nobody takes your life, you will take your own life. And it is not becoming any less rampant in our world. In fact, the government just released statistics from 2022, and we have reached in 2022 a new all-time high in the number of suicides in the United States. And here's why. Because despair, which is defined as a lack of hope, as despair goes up, hope goes down. They have an inverse relationship. So the more hope a person has, the less despair they will have. And so it is vitally important not only that you have hope in your life, but that you are an ambassador of hope for other people. Now, I have looked for years for the best way to illustrate what it looks like to have hope. But would you put our Bible verse back up there, Romans 15:13. Let's go back a couple to that verse. There you go. Now, there's probably a better illustration, but I haven't found it yet. So if you think of one, please share it with me. The best illustration that I have found is a bucket. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I take this bucket and I go and fill it with water, then anything else that somebody else wants to dump in my bucket, any kind of negativity, any kind of bad thing, we live in a sinful, fallen, broken world. If I get that phone call, and we're all only one phone call from really devastating news, we live in a very real sense on a razor's edge where every phone call could be a devastating phone call, and we need to make sure that our bucket is full of hope. Because when that phone call comes, when that news comes, when that diagnosis comes, having a full bucket of hope doesn't make the news any less serious, but it means that when the enemy comes, when doubt, when despair, when depression come, and they try to fill up our life, because our life is filled with hope, the other things that try and get dumped in our bucket simply run out. There's no room for them in our lives. Does anybody today need more hope? Absolutely. Now, I want to see if I can provide a couple of more illustrations of what it looks like not only to have hope, but to share hope with others. And the first, would you put up the astronaut picture? I had the mentor that I was referring to, Barry Simpson, contacted me recently, and he said, "Bear, there's a movie you have got to see. This is an absolutely incredible movie. It is, and as you watch it, Bear, all the things that you talk about on your podcast, man, they are played out in this movie, including the steps to hope-filled living. You need to watch this movie." So this past week, Carol and I watched the movie, and Barry was absolutely right. This is an amazing movie. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called A Million Miles Away. It is a true story. And listen, I really, really, really want you to watch this movie. Your life is going to be better because you watch this movie. Now, I tell you that, and some of you are going, "Yeah, okay, all right, I'll check that out." And some of you kind of step back a little bit and go, "I don't know." So what can I do to encourage you, to exhort you, to facilitate you watching this movie? Well, one thing I can do is I can tell you that the story is about it's a true story about an astronaut named Jose Hernandez. And Jose was the first Hispanic American to be accepted into the space flight program and then fly into space. He was also the son of migrant farm laborers. I can tell you a little bit about the plot. What happens in the movie? Who it's about, Jose Hernandez, what the plot is about. I can tell you that half the year, Jose and his family, his parents, lived in Mexico. The other half of the year, they moved to California, where they traveled around picking whatever fruit was being harvested at that time. So half the year, Jose's going to school in America. Half the year, he's going to school in Mexico. And a teacher at an American school came to Jose's parents and had a very difficult conversation. I mean, they're trying to feed their family. They're moving wherever the harvest is, and this teacher comes to Jose's family and says, "Listen, your child has amazing potential. Your child is really gifted. In fact, when I see your child, I see him like a tree that's going to grow up really tall and strong and bear amazing fruit. But you know what? If you kept pulling up a tree, even if it was a really healthy tree, if you kept pulling that tree up and transplanting it over here and then pulling it up and putting it over there and putting it back over there and moving it two or three times a year, that tree doesn't have much of a chance. So I understand why you do what you do, but I want to really encourage you to look for an opportunity to settle down in one place because Jose has enormous potential. I can tell you when the story happens. Jose is 2 years younger than I am. He flew on the space shuttle Discovery. That's the one that went up immediately after Columbia, in which our own Willie McCool from here in Lubbock was part of that flight. I can also tell you how important this movie is. I can tell you it's a story that will absolutely reinforce all the things that we're going to talk about this morning regarding the power of hope. Now, some of you, because you're sharp people, you're going, he's kind of using this movie as a metaphor for telling people about hope in Jesus, isn't he? Yes, I am. That's really good. I'm glad you picked up on that. Now, let me ask you a question. What else could I do? If I'm still getting kind of a, yeah, okay, all right, I might check that out at some point. Or, you know, I don't have Amazon. By the way, who has Amazon in here? All right, I see those hands. All right, that means you get free movies. Well, they're sort of free. I want you to take note. Hold those hands up again. Okay, for those of you who don't have Amazon, those are your free shipping people. All right? Now, what else can I do? If I really, really want you to see this movie, if I believe this is a game changer, well, I can invite you over to my house. I said it. We just watched the movie last week. I can invite you over to my house to see the movie because we have Amazon. I could even sweeten the deal and say, hey, listen, I tell you what, let's not just come over for the movie. Why don't we get some pizzas and we'll all sit down and watch the movie together. Carol is looking very nervous back there. That is going to be a lot of pizzas. All right. Now, let me see if I can use a different illustration on how we share hope with others. Would you put up the book? This is a book that I think is one of the most important books you could ever read. It's written by Dr. Matthew Sleeth, MD, Andy Hurst and Andy Coward, and Carol and I and a number of others had the opportunity to meet Dr. Sleeth a couple of years ago at a New Room conference. He was there actually talking about a different book that he wrote, but this is an absolutely amazing book. And as Dr. Sleeth shared a little bit about his story, he said, you know, I was always a person of hope. I had a reasonable amount of hope, but, you know, I was a surgeon. I was a lead surgeon. So there's a lot of power. There's a lot of authority that comes with that. So I was a little bit reluctant to talk about Jesus, to talk about real, durable hope with other people because I didn't want them to think that I was somehow abusing my power, abusing my position, trying to kind of twist their arm to go to church. I understand that. But Dr. Sleeth said that one of the people who worked for them at their house, one day they didn't come. And Dr. Sleeth and his family didn't even know anything was wrong, but this man had been struggling with some things privately, and he ended up taking his own life. Then Dr. Sleeth had a family member who ended up taking their life. And then someone else and someone else, and part of the epidemic of suicide began to move in very close to Dr. Sleeth's circle of influence, his sphere of influence. And Dr. Sleeth had to come to the reality that even though my bucket's doing pretty good when it comes to personal hope, I do not have overflowing hope that I've been sharing with others. And I gotta up my game. So one of the things that Dr. Sleeth did as he wrote this book, he began researching what does hope-filled living look like, And how do I share it with others? So I really want you to go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever it is that you buy books. And I really want you to buy this book by Dr. Sleeth. All right? Now, what else could I do? Let me try one more illustration of how we need to be sharing hope with others. Would you put up the podcast? Now, we have been on the air since 2016. By the way, we do not monetize our podcast, so everything that I'm about to say has nothing to do with monetary anything. And I want to be clear about that so that there's no question in that regard. Our speaking engagements, our book sales, our DVD sales, that is what funds our podcast. So let's just be clear about that right from the beginning. But I have a favor to ask that would mean a great deal to me. I want you to do three things regarding our podcast. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to find it this week, and I want you to commit to listening to it. All right? And you may say, well, I already listened to it. That's great. Keep on. If you've ever listened to it or never listened to it, I want you to commit to listen to it this week. And we've been on the air, like I said, since 2016. So there's lots and lots and lots of content on there, and it's all absolutely free. Now, if I really want you to listen to it, I'm going to tell you how to find it. Okay? If you are like me, your technological expertise is humming along in about 1987, okay? Then where you can find it is at author, A-U-T-H-O-R, authorbearmills.com. If that's still a little too much, but you do receive emails, you can contact the church, and the church will put you on an email list where they will send you the link to the podcast every week, and you can listen to each new episode. Finally, if you have a smartphone, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Amazon, you can go to iHeartRadio, you can go to Spotify, and or you can just go to Google and you can type in Bear Mills Podcast, or you can go to Facebook and you can type in Bear Mills Podcast, and a link to that will come up. So the first thing is, I want you to commit to listen and continue to build your own personal hope reserves. The next thing that I want you to do is I want you to look, and there will either be a like or follow button. And I want you to like and follow the podcast. Here's why. Because the more people who like and follow it, the higher it goes up in a search. If someone is looking for material about hope or about Bible studies or about applying the Word of God to their everyday workaday world, then the more likes we get, the more it goes up. See, when I hope, I am asking myself and others to do something, to take action. Hope is not passive. Then the third thing that I want to ask you to do is I want you to look and find the share button. And I want you, whether it's on Facebook or iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio or whatever it's on, I want you to hit the share button, and here's why. The people who do the demographics for our podcast tell us that for every single one of you who hits share, you're not just sharing it with one person. In fact, for every one of you who hits the share button, there will be 300 more people who listen to our podcast. Your action on behalf of this hope-filled podcast makes a difference even more than you thought. When you share hope, it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Let me give you an illustration of that. A few years ago, we had a young lady from France who stayed with us while she took classes at Texas Tech. And every evening, we would go out and we would take a walk. And we pray for our neighborhood. We take our dog, Seek, as in seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. We would take our dog Seek for a walk and we would pray for our neighborhood. And so she would go out with us and take a walk. And one of the things that we would pray as we walked around the neighborhood is, Lord, would you help these good people to not just know about you, but to know you and live in relationship with you. Well, one evening as we're going out for a walk, this young lady says, Bear, when I was 12 in Paris, where I grew up, I had a lot of questions about God, and my family didn't really go to church. They didn't know how to answer the questions, but they did call the local parish Catholic priest, and they asked him if he could come over, and he told them what it would cost. That he charges per hour, but that he would come over. And so he came over for an hour or two and answered her questions, her 12-year-old questions about God. And so she said, you know, I really feel that I know about God. But Bear, I don't think I know God. And I don't know that he knows me. So under the street light at the end of our cul-de-sac, I led her in the sinner's prayer. And that young lady took care of her business with God. She asked God to come into her heart through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. She admitted her sin, she repented of her sin, and she invited Jesus into her heart. And she looked up and said, I know God, and he knows me. Now, when this young lady went back to Paris, France, on our demographics reports that we get periodically, bing, we have one listener in the most, according to some, secular country in the world. We have one listener, but we have a listener in Paris, and I'm thinking I know who that is. And then the next week, bing, we have two listeners. And the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. Now, on any given week, we have dozens and dozens to even hundreds of listeners in the most secular country in the world, because one young lady came to Lubbock, Texas. One young lady asked Jesus into her heart, and then she went back home and said, hey, I want you to listen to this podcast. And you know what she did to try and sweeten the pot, to encourage them, to exhort them to do that? She said, and if you want to know what English sounds like in the South, because it does not sound like what we speak when we speak English, you need to listen to this guy. And sometimes he says funny things like, it's about as handy as a pocket on a shirt. Or he says things like, amen, amen, amen. And she found that tremendously funny. I don't know why, but she did. And so she began to encourage people. I want to encourage you. You can find our podcast on demand. You can listen to it whatever time you want to listen to it. And again, why? Because we are talking about something that is not just a nice thing to know, it is a vitally important thing to know. Because if it's not you, it will be someone you know. I had, unfortunately, I get these calls or emails way too often where someone contacts me and they said, hey, Bear, you came and spoke at our civic group, or you came and spoke at our company or our school, and it was a nice presentation. Thank you very much for coming. But I didn't really do anything with what you said. And Bear, my dad's had some business setbacks, and my dad lost our farm. And the day that he signed the papers to turn over title to the farm to new owners, he drove his pickup out into the middle of the field, and my daddy blew his brains out. Because my daddy's self-identity, my daddy's self-worth, my daddy's sense of hope, even though he went to church, it turns out it was not in God Almighty. His identity and his hope was all in the land, and that was now gone. We know of another young man who seemed like a very energetic, church-going, good guy. He worked for his daddy. He worked in a company in Oklahoma where they were doing really well. They were growing and growing and growing. And in this particular line, the sky was the limit. His dad seemed healthy. He seemed healthy. Everything seemed really good. There was no stopping him. And one day, his daddy fell over dead of a heart attack. And it turned out that even though he knew all the right things to say about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and hope, it turned out they were just words. They were not reality. They were not experiential. His bucket was not filled with the things that Romans 15:13 talks about. His bucket was filled with, as long as my daddy's around, we're going to do really good. This young man began drinking because he didn't know what to do with his sorrow, his depression, his despair. He began taking drugs. And this young man, who anybody would have looked at him and said, what a talented young man, somebody who was popular in high school, did really well, smart, a quick learner. How in the world did he end up in the state prison system as a drug dealer and assaulting people because he was so out of his mind because the death of his father put him on a downward spiral that took him very, very close to ending his own life? Let's be clear. This subject of hope is not just a nice thing to talk about. It is vitally important. In fact, Billy Graham went so far as to say that it is the single most important thing related to Jesus Christ that we can ever, ever talk about. People must have hope. And you know what? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so we, that is you and me, we are Christ's ambassadors. If we don't talk to people about real, durable hope, who's going to talk to them? It needs to be you. It needs to be me. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, through you and me. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We can invite people to watch a movie. We can ask people to read a book about how to have more hope. We can invite people to listen to a podcast. The other thing that we must do is we must pray, Lord, would you help me to see that open door to having conversations that really matter? Let me ask you a question. If you know someone who puts their hope in exercise, man, they are a gym rat. How many hours a day do they, or a week, do they give to exercise? A lot. People that I know who put their hope in the stock market, how many hours a week, what are they doing in regards to the stock market? Man, it's right on the edge of being an obsession. It's what they talk about. It's what they read about. It's what they think about. It's what they're always trying to learn more about. What about people who put their hope in cooking really great meals? Man, they're talking about it all the time. They're looking on Facebook for new recipes and new opportunities and new people to meet with. What about people who love to travel if their hope is in new experiences? What does that life look like? God, forgive me that people who have their hope in the stock market invest more time in the stock market than I do in hope in Jesus Christ. As the band comes back up, would you hold up your hands to receive something? Hold up your hands like I was going to throw you a ball, okay? Hold it up to receive something. 2 Thessalonians 2:19. After all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown when we stand before the Lord Jesus upon his return? It is you. Your reward in Jesus Christ that you're holding out your hands to receive. Your hope, your joy, your reward will be those that you shared the hope of God in. And they said, like that little French girl said to us, you know, I don't want to just know about God anymore. I want to know God, and I want to accept him into my heart. Would you receive that right now? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We come before you. God, we recognize that hope is vitally important. But Lord, we also recognize that it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This isn't just us trying to manufacture hope out of thin air. This is hope that comes through your word and through your presence and through your power. God, as we hold up our hands to receive it, would you help us to receive your hope today? And would you help us to begin visualizing those people that when we stand in eternity, that the Lord says, see that one right there? That's because you shared hope with them. See that one right there? That's because you shared hope with them. After all, what gives us hope and joy? What will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before you, our Lord Jesus, when you return? It is those with whom we share hope. In Jesus' name. So as they close today, would you accept this as your parting blessing to go out into the world? And please don't wait. Begin sharing hope today. Begin filling your hope resources. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.